This is PCJ Radio International.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Keith Perron.
Well, hello, friends and listeners, and welcome to another edition of the program. Coming up today, we have some information on a DRM transmission that we're going to be doing in the month of October. And also, Dan Hensley will be here with this week's propagation forecast. But first, I want to talk about The Global Voice. The Global Voice is an internet station based in the United Kingdom, and Media Network Plus, this program, will be distributed by them the following times: Monday at 16 UTC, Tuesday at 6:30 UTC, and Thursday at 22 hours UTC. They're adding our program to their already vast schedule. Now, of course, as you know, any time a station wants to add PCJ programs to their schedule, we always like to have them on the show to talk a little bit more about them and to inform people of what kind of station it is. We're now joined by Chrissy Cochran, who's the Managing Director of The Global Voice.
Voice is an internet radio station. Now, many internet radio stations, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners will know, have, say, three or four programs, and the rest of the time is music, but usually automated. We, when we started the station about, it's nearly 4 years ago, decided that we would have all programming, and as it was a global station, that we would do roughly what the old BBC World Service used to do, and that is have target areas. So in other words, we'd repeat programs for different target areas where possible, and this was very useful when we had more languages than we do now, because we do have other languages. We had some Spanish programs, so we'd target it for Europe or targeted for South America, etc. But we do have music. It's multi-format station. That's the simplest way to put it.
But one of the interesting things about the station is that it is for the visually impaired, because when you look at the website, it's a very, very simple website, which is needed.
Slight correction. It's not for the visually impaired. It's run by the visually impaired. It's for, the strapline says, helping the world's blind and sighted communities see eye to eye. So it is for both. And my attitude is that when you're behind a microphone, it doesn't matter whether you're blue, green, yellow spots, blind, sighted, or whatever. And it doesn't matter what the listener is either. But it is run primarily by visually impaired people. And we just made it nice and simple for everyone to find things. Not everyone is highly computer literate. Not everyone gets around a web browser easily. So we thought, let's just make it simple. Mind you, we do have it in 40 languages.
So what kind of programming do you have? Because you said that you have certain programs that are in different languages that target specific regions of the world. You also repeat programs to reach audiences in a prime time in a certain area. How do you fill up that airtime?
With repeated programs, we have about 25 in-house staff all over the world. At the moment, they're in Sweden, Denmark, the US, and Canada, and the UK. We have had them in South America, in Australia. But we have about 25. We also insource programs. We bring Harry Shearer's Le Show in. We bring Democracy Now! In each weekday from Pacifica Network, and one or two other programs. So we do have current affairs programs in that. And programs can be anything from half an hour to the longest we have is 3 hours.
You know, speaking from experience here, I know that starting a new station, internet, or even like we are using shortwave satellite and FM relays, is certainly not an easy task. And I remember when I started PCJ off in 2009, people were looking at me saying, "Keith, didn't you take your medicine today?"
Yeah, radio is dead. What are you doing starting it? You know, yeah, I agree. But what happened was that I got into radio through being a DJ for a station that was run by the American Council of the Blind, ACB Radio, which is still going today. And my contract, having done DJ work, I then knew the their then current station manager, who wanted to leave the station. He said, "Are you interested in the job?" I said, "What does it entail?" So he told me. I said, "Yeah, why not?" So I did it for a couple of years, which got me two trips to the States, which was very nice. Actually, three. And when my contract ended, they decided they wanted an American as managing director because they hadn't had one. They'd had a guy called Jonathan Mosen who'd started the station. He was from New Zealand. It was Dave Williams and myself, both English, and they wanted an American. So I thought, what am I going to do? So I decided to start a station myself. And fortunately for me, and not for ACB Radio, quite a few of the staff members wanted to come with me. So I had a built-in staff to kick off with of about 10, 12 people. And away we went.
Now, you say that you just a moment ago that you have over 20 shows. You didn't start with 20 shows, did you?
We started with a full program schedule.
A full program schedule?
Well, yes, in that, you know, there were repeats, obviously, as well. But we run 24-7, and we have 24-7 off programming. So they may be repeats, but they're not usually repeated in the same day sort of thing. So if you wanted to sit and listen for 24 hours, you wouldn't hear the same program again.
And what kind of programming do you have?
We have the usual music programs, be they pop. I, for one thing, do a country show. We have soul shows and what have you. Our flagship talk program is one on a Sunday evening at 18 hours UTC called The Attitude Test, where we have...
Sounds like a game show.
It tests your attitude. We talk on any subject, and the more attitude people have, the better we like it. We like it sort of edgy where possible. But there are five of us from the staff on the show using Skype, and we use Skype for call-ins as well. So the show doesn't flag. If nobody calls in, there are enough of us to keep the conversation going, but a lot of people do call in. That's an hour-long show. We have other talk programs, Media Network Plus included. We take programs from the United Nations as well. We have programs specifically for the blind and visually impaired, two major ones, run by a guy who's sadly deceased, and we're rerunning all his programs, a guy called Mark Marvel. We do Eyes on Employment and The Sound of Sight, and the usual music programs. But we have a wide range, from a program on operetta to a program called Everything But the Kitchen Sink, which is very, very eclectic indeed.
You know what's interesting? Because you've been in radio for a while, same with me, and today... The way you can start a station, producing content, having people from all around the world is so much easier. I mean, I still remember a time when if we were doing an interview and I wanted the same kind of quality, I would have to send somebody to your location in the UK with a microphone and tape recorder, record your voice, send the tape over to me by courier, and then spend about an hour or so editing it together to make sure it made some kind of sense. Whereas today, everything can be done so much easier and so much simpler. You don't have to buy satellite time, and you can have 10 guests all together at one time.
Well, that's true. And I've noticed even the major stations like the BBC are beginning to use things like Skype, A, presumably because they're cheaper, and B, because they're just very quick to do. But yes, it is great to be able to do that, but it doesn't alter the fact that you need to know a bit about broadcasting. You can't just sit down and play music and expect to maintain listeners.
You're listening to The Global Voice.
Now, of course, radio has changed a lot. I mean, we're using software these days. And is there software out there for the visually impaired? Because if I look at, say, some of the software that we're using, you really need sight to be able to use it.
There is software. For example, I would you believe I use, and I'm sure most people who listen to programs on the internet are well aware of this program called Winamp, God bless it. And there are various means of using that for streaming. Now, other people use a program called Station Playlist, which now has some very, very good scripts which have been written to make it easier for visually impaired people to use it with a screen reader. And there's no problem at all.
So they can use a screen reader on this software and know how to do things. It's that simple?
Yeah, it's that simple. It really is. And that includes editing. I mean, we can use things like SoundForge or Sonar, various other editors that sighted people use. There are some that we do have difficulty with. But if from the point of view of ordinary two-track editing, SoundForge works extremely well.
I remember a couple of years ago meeting a listener of mine and also a listener of yours by the name of Dave Marthouse. And visiting him in the United States, and I was sitting in this room, and he had his, his mobile phone, and it was almost like his mobile phone was telling him where to press and what to do and everything, and I just found that absolutely extraordinary, because, you know, in the days when people were using tape, you know, you couldn't do that, and if you were editing, you'd probably cut your fingers off, you know? I mean, but with the way technology has become, it's just become so much more accessible, and it sounds as if with your station and the people that you have working there that now this one community that maybe couldn't work in radio before unless they were working as a producer or a presenter can do so many other things.
Well, yes, I mean the Global Voice does have an extremely good in-house production team, which I would rate against any production team anywhere. And it's just because it's been a hobby of people, they've really got to grips with the editing, they know how to do promos, they know how to do their own beds. I mean, you can get them from common sources, of course, but most people do their own for the Global Voices point of view. And, you know, we do our own promos, liners, and things for the shows.
Now, the Global Voice, is this the only station of its internet station of its kind around, or do you have any type of competition out there?
We do have competition, yes, indeed. I mean, I'm an oddball. I don't mind mentioning other stations because the blind community is small enough, and I am a great believer in cooperation. The only way we will get our voice heard in the radio industry is by cooperation. There are one or two who like to stick avidly to themselves, but I am not a great believer in that. For example, there is a guy on another station called Mint FM coming out of Israel who is doing a 48-hour DJ marathon in support of the Macmillan Cancer Trust this weekend, and we've cooperated with them. We'll be taking part of their show. We've been running their promo, and I'm quite happy to do that. I think we need more of this.
Well, cooperation between radio stations is something that is rarely seen. There should be more of it, and I think it benefits everybody.
We're such a small community that we're never going to get our voice heard as single little stations. We never are. There's just no way. However, if we do combine and a little bit of a force for good in the world kind of thing, then we may stand a chance.
Now, a lot of radio stations out there use all types of social media to get the work out about what they're doing. What about yourselves? Or is it just by word of mouth because you said the community is so small?
Yeah, that's the blind community in general. But remember, we are not just for the blind community, as I said earlier on. So we use Facebook. We have a Facebook page, and we also use Twitter. We have mailing lists, and there are lists for people interested in, for example, internet radio. There are a couple of those, so we advertise our programs there. So we get the word out.
Is your station also available on services like TuneIn and others, where they can use a phone app to listen?
Yes, TuneIn Radio, we are certainly available on. We are about to be available on iTunes. We're just sorting that out now. That will take a few weeks, typical iTunes. It will take a while to go through the bureaucracy. But yes, we are on TuneIn Radio, OOTunes, and most of the Android versions of them as well, obviously.
Now let's talk about the way you distribute the programs. You said it is through online. You have different programs that are repeated for certain targets. This doesn't sound like something that you can do cheaply. I mean, where does the money come from?
It comes from me, basically. we have a server in France which has plenty of disk space. We found that France, the service that particular ISP provided was exactly suited our needs. So we're able to play repeat programs straight from the server, which means there doesn't have to be anyone watching it all the time. We have a playout system which, when a program ends, will play promos and liners and stuff until either it's time for the next program to start or someone comes on live. It sort of goes live, repeat, promos. So that's the order. Live has preference. Mm-hmm. But the station, the thing is absolutely ruthless. As I tell the various members of my staff, I say, well, don't you dare run over the top of the hour because it'll kick you off. That's when the next program is due to start, and that's when it will start. So it is ruthless.
Now, let me ask you, I mean, in the UK, Ofcom offers, you know, broadcast license for special radio stations for a short time. Have you ever looked at doing something like that?
It's just too expensive, quite frankly. And for the short time, it's really not worth doing. I don't think. I had thought about it, and we also thought about going on the Sky Digital platform. But again, it's just too expensive, really. I wish it wasn't, mm-hmm. and I wish it was easier for small stations to do that sort of thing, to get well known. But it isn't. I don't have that sort of money. I have enough, you know, I have the sort of money to keep the station going quite happily. But not that sort of money, I'm afraid.
Which is actually a bit of a shame. I know that in the U.S. they just changed the regulation now, so stations can get what they call a Part 15 license, which means actually it's they don't really technically need a license as long as they broadcast under a certain amount of power. But I heard that in the U.K. there's a lot of bureaucracy when it comes to Ofcom.
Oh, the bureaucracy is ridiculous. The one thing they have allowed us to do at long last is use FM transmitters in the house. We don't need a license for that. At one time, it was strictly verboten here. You just could not do it. Now, they have graciously allowed that. I think it's up to 500 milliwatts or something,
mm-hmm.
and a whip antenna.
Oh, okay. But I suppose like maybe somebody across the street can hear you, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, they can and do. But as for the short-term license, I mean, you know, they're usually for a couple of weeks or a month at the very outside. And you're looking at a couple of £1,000, and they want to install their transmitter for you to do it, et cetera, et cetera. You can't use your own. And, of course, naturally, you pay for that.
So you can't bring your own transmitter. It has to be one provided by Ofcom.
It has to be, yes, absolutely.
That's I can see where that becomes very expensive indeed. What about commercial advertising? Do you have any on the station?
No, we don't. We do allow sponsorship, which mm-hmm. is slightly different, as people in the States will know. You cannot do a direct call to action sort of thing. Visit such and such a website. You can't do that, but you could say this program is sponsored by. And we do have a rate card for that.
Is that because of regulations, or is that the station's regulations?
It's the station's regulations, quite frankly. I suspect that if we went blatantly commercial, we'd be under more scrutiny, and you never know what things we might be inadvertently going against, if you know what I mean.
Right. Now, if somebody's listening right now, Chrissy, and they want more information, where can they go?
Oh, quite simple. To The Global Voice, all one word, .info. No www required. So it's http://, The Global Voice, all one word, theglobalvoice.info. And there you will find links to the various lists we have for listeners, etc. We have a program gallery where most programs are kept up there for a week, except the talk programs, which tend to stay up for the year. For example, the Attitude Test, we've got back to January of this year. And the Voices program we also have back. But the music programs and things like that stay up there for the week and are replaced by the next one.
You're listening to The Global Voice.
And once again, for more information on The Global Voice, just go to theglobalvoice.info, theglobalvoice.info. And there's no need to put WWW before that. Now, first, I want to take a few moments to tell you about a DRM, that's Digital Radio Mondiale transmission, that we're going to be doing on October the 13th. We've planned a two-hour test transmission from Trincomalee in Sri Lanka, targeting Southeast and East Asia, between 10:30 and 12:30 UTC on 15645 kHz. The power for this transmission will be 80 kilowatts, and will be on the same beam as our regular scheduled shortwave broadcast at 1330 UTC. The program will be a relay of the content that we send to the Pacific, of course with some changes on it, but we'd love to hear from you to find out what reception is like if you have a DRM receiver. The address to send it to is PCJQSL at PCJmedia.com. So once again, a DRM transmission from PCJ Radio International, October the 13th, 2013, between 10:30 and 12:30 UTC on the frequency of 15645 kHz. Also, at the same time, we have a contest going right now here for PCJ to look for a slogan for the station. We decided to open it up to you, the listener. Now, it's very easy to do. Come up with one slogan, 10 if you want to, and send them to slogan at pcjmedia.com. That's slogan at pcjmedia.com. Now, how this is going to work is in the month of November, when we get all of them in, we're going to choose the top five. We will create a special link at the PCJ website where you can vote and decide which slogan you think is the best one that we can use. We've had so many that have come in that I was thinking earlier, maybe reading a few of them on the show, but I decided to keep them secret for the time being. Because some of them are quite good, actually. Some of them are very good. Some of them are witty, and some of them are just strange. And I have to tell you, I kind of enjoy the strange ones myself. So once again, the email address is slogan at pcjmedia.com. The prize will be a new Texson S2000 receiver, and we'll be announcing the winner on December the 31st. So right at the end of the year. Next month, also in October, I want to mention that on the 27th of October, PCJ Radio will be presenting a special program from 1330 to 1430 UTC, H.G. Wells's The War of the Worlds, the original 1938 broadcast for Halloween. So get ready for goosebumps, as they might say. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Right now, what can we expect propagation-wise over the next 7 days? Here's our propagation editor, Dan Hensley.
Here's propagation for the week from September 21st to September 27th, 2013. A 10.7 centimeter flux all week long of 100. An A index of 5 on September 21st, September 22nd, 8. September 23rd, back down to 5 until September 25th, up to 10. September 26th, and on September 27th, up to 12. The KP index is 2 on September 21st, up to 3 on September 22nd, down to 2 on September 23rd, remaining at 2 till September 25th, up to 3 September 27th, up to 4 on September 27th. We remain at solar minimum with only 2 sunspots visible, 1840 on the sun's far east side and 1841 almost close to the center. A coronal hole has been observed, and we expect wind from that to reach us here on Earth September 22nd or 23rd. Back to you, Keith.
All right, thank you very much, Dan. If you want more information on Dan Hensley's propagation forecast, you can check out the PCJ website. Just go to www.pcjmedia.com/radioprop. That's R-P-R-O-P. And Dan, for the web version of his forecast, puts a lot more information that he normally can't put in the 1 minute time that is allotted to him. And he also puts a lot of other little things as well that you may not know. And it is quite interesting. So do go check it out. www.pcjmedia.com/RPROP. Now, the next thing before we go, if you want to take a survey that we have for PCJ Radio International, just go to our main website and you'll see it on the front page. It says, come to take the PCJ Radio International survey. Click here to take the survey. And if you click on the survey, there's 10 questions. Some of them are multiple choice and some you have to put your own answer. And this actually is very useful to us because it gives us an idea who, that's right, who you are. Now, I'm not talking about what you eat for lunch or anything like that, or personal details. We could put a survey like that maybe one day. But no, to find out more about our audience. So do go and check it out. And on our weekly Sunday program, Happy Station, we will be, in the near future, going through all the results and the data, because some of the data that we've been collecting is rather interesting and rather surprising. Let me put it this way. Very surprising in many ways. Anyway, I have to leave you right now. It's been fun, of course, as always, that you've been able to join me for the last 30 minutes. If you want to contact us for a story idea for the show, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. So on behalf of everyone that helped put the program together, this is Keith Powell wishing you all, saying so long, take care, 73 and 88 to the ladies.